I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. In 2002, my guest now Jamie Lawrence first met Nora York, the celebrated vocalist and songwriter. Ms. York, who performed through New York City's cabaret scene, was hailed for her bold mashups of jazz, rock, folk, and other genres. The New York Times described her as a polymath who delighted in synthesizing philosophy, poetry, politics, and song. She and Mr. Lawrence collaborated on an album as well as on other ideas for songs and musical theater shows. They'd recorded a lot of material and recorded songs right up to Nora York's tragic death from pancreatic cancer in 2016. She was 60 years old. A new album produced by Jamie Lawrence, featuring artwork from Nora's husband and artistic collaborator Jerry Kearns, is out now, called Swoon. It features 12 tracks, beginning with a cover of the Elvis Presley-associated All Shook Up, done in her inimitable style. Following that are 11 other songs, six of which were written by Nora York and Jamie Lawrence. We'll play one of them out of the conversation I taped with Jamie 2 weeks ago. Listen for Rain Came Down at the end of the show. Jamie Lawrence is a composer and pianist whose career has involved scoring for film and television, as well as music direction for live television broadcasts like the annual Tony Awards on CBS. It was for the 2012 broadcast that Mr. Lawrence won an Emmy for outstanding music direction in a variety show, one of five Emmys he has. Incidentally, he's had a long association with the broadcast as he worked with his father, the great bandleader and pianist Elliot Lawrence, who conducted the telecast orchestra for a number of years. As you'll hear in our chat, Jamie composed a number of memorable pieces for the award shows. He also produced and orchestrated the score for the Rebecca Miller HBO documentary Arthur Miller Writer. This new album, Swoon, is available in stores and online, as well as all the other ways that one can stream and download music nowadays. It is from Good Mood Records. Jamie's website is at jamielawrenceproductions.com. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Jamie Lawrence. Mr. Lawrence, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Nora York, your friend and your collaborator, she died in 2016. I'd like to begin by just if you could tell us what she was like.
Well, Nora was a very tall, thin glass of, you know, like that expression, cool glass of water is what she was.
Yeah.
And she was also a wacky lady. And I met her when she, at some point, came to meet me and wanted me to produce her next record. And I really didn't know anything about her, but I went to see her perform at Joe's Pub, and she had this incredibly devoted following that would go see her at the Joe's Pub, which is at the New York City Public Theater.
Uh-huh.
It's like a nightclub. And she's amazing on stage. She's funny and she sings great. And she had this voice that could go super low and super resonant. And I agreed. And then we sort of started working on this record together that became a record called What I Want. And we ended up then working together for the next 17 years. We became very close friends, and we worked on some theater projects together. We worked on some TV themes together, and we worked on a lot of songs together and a lot of projects that sort of got started and then got put aside to work on another project. And then I was immediately started playing in her band and basically started running her band, and so we became close collaborators at that point.
Yeah. Reading up on her, she just seemed like she was interested in everything. Was she?
Yeah, she was. Her brother is a classical bassoonist, and so she grew up listening to classical music, and she studied all her life with this opera teacher. But she really was part of, like, the sort of Knitting Factory, early 80s jazz scene in New York City, sort of the avant-garde scene.
Uh-huh.
And she would dress up in wild costumes, and she'd sing wacky songs, and she'd also like to put songs together in interesting ways. Like, she'll sing a Miles Davis, like, to put the chords of a Miles Davis tune, like So What, up, and then sing a different song completely on top. maybe by Cat Stevens, and these kind of mishmashes or she found fascinating. And a lot of the time, the audience wasn't even aware that, like, oh, I'm actually listening to like parts of three songs going on.
Yeah,
might be listening to the So What chord changes, and the bass line might be from a Jimi Hendrix song, and then she'd be singing a Cat Stevens song on top. And so she was doing mashups before the word mashup became popular years later.
And so being able to work closely with someone like that, who has a mind, who can hear that these various songs can be put together, what was that like for you?
Well, in the beginning it was funny because the music she gave out to the band was kind of crazy. Didn't make a lot of sense. And when I first sat in with the band to play, I was like, what is going on? Because the music didn't make any sense. But after one or two times, like, you're like, oh, this is how it goes. And then it just became a thing we played, and it became totally natural, until we brought a new person into the band who had to look at those terrible charts, which we never fixed, and the whole process started again. But basically, I am a composer, really. That's my true love. I do a lot of film scores and write a lot of songs, and I just, that was my prejudice. So, and Nora also was a wonderful songwriter, and I definitely encouraged her, to pursue songwriting in addition to the mashups, because her thing was putting all these songs together, but my thing was what's really valuable are writing songs from your heart and about also what makes you tick, which she had been doing and had a bunch of, but that's really what I was more interested in pursuing with her. And so we wrote a lot of songs together, and I also worked on a lot of songs that she wrote by herself.
So this album, Swoon, has both, doesn't it? It has covers as well as original compositions.
Yeah, it has two covers. One is an Elvis Presley song called All Shook Up,
which
everyone knows. Mm-hmm. But you would barely recognize it if you listened to it.
Yeah.
And then we were talking to a prominent person about helping her put together a cabaret show, and one of Nora's ideas was to sing the Prince song "Nothing Compares to You,"
mm-hmm.
and mash it up with an old folk song from Wales. And so she came into the studio one day, and we worked on it together, and we put it together, and we pitched it to this person, and it never worked out, and just sat on the shelf for 6 years. And then, this is the way things happened with her. And the next thing I knew, she was no longer with us. And when I went back to listen to this thing, I was sort of blown away by the vocal.
Mm.
So, and I was like, this is amazing. So I put that on the record too, and that's Prince's song "Nothing Compares to You," which I think is beautiful, and the rest are all originals, either by Nora or by Nora and myself.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about those two covers for just a moment, because "All Shook Up" is the first thing that you listen to on the album, and right away I thought it was familiar, obviously, because I recognized the song, but then the way that she interpreted it. What made it seem like it could have been something that would, say, written in the 40s or earlier even, or something new altogether. And I think that's her gift as you listen to the tracks on this album, is that there is a unique sound here. And I understand she didn't like being restricted to a certain musical genre, and that's evidence in all the material in Swoon, because you have different kinds of songs, I guess, if you will.
Yep, that was, it's very hard in this day and age to be interested in a lot of things and be able to do a lot of things well, because, everyone knows, people are like, oh, this is a jazz radio station, this is a jazz promoter, this is a classical promoter, this is a pop promoter, everyone's in their category, and no one ever knew what to do with Nora, which was always a frustration with her. But, you know, she had amazing jazz chops. She could really swing with the band. But she also was able to write these beautiful ballads and these other styles of music. And we did a lot of, on the next posthumous record I'm going to release, but there's even more stuff we did with opera. And so, yeah, it makes it hard as a have a career, but I think it does show on the album that she's comfortable in many genres.
Yeah, indeed.
Though I do think it hangs together as a body of work.
It does indeed. And so because there are these various kinds of music on the album, and through her work, she liked listening to everything, didn't she?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what she listened to when she was at home, but she definitely loved opera, and she then listened to a lot of jazz and Joni Mitchell, and she liked beats. She taught for years at NYU, first with the college students at Tisch Drama School, and then at the Clive Davis Institute for Recorded Music, which is designed for musicians who are really geared toward the pop world and recording studio world and for marketing world. And so, you know, when you work with kids, not really kids, but, you know, young adults in their 20s, you get exposed to all the latest trends in music. And then, you know, like, wow, you're like, wow, this is really good. And a lot of those kids would come in and write their own songs. And I worked with her at these schools too. We always put on a show every year at Joe's Pub, and, you know, like, these are great songs these 20-year-olds are writing, and then it influences your own work. And then you're like, hey, I want to write a song like that.
Yeah.
So,
Jamie, the pieces on this album, Swoon, that you both wrote together, did you collaborate on the lyrics as well with her, or were you just, say, did you just do the music, say?
No, she was in charge of all lyrics, and then I did more of the music side. And often what happened was she would come in with a snippet, like, here's an idea for a song, and then she's like, I don't know what to do with it, and then that's where I would take over and sort of finish the music part, and she would work on the lyric part. There was, except for one song called My Earliest Memory, which is the only song we ever did where she just wrote this, it's like a poem about growing up and going summering on the up in Canada at her mother's or grandmother's place and swimming in the ocean there, in the Georgian Bay, I think it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And that one we did sort of the old school style, where like, here's a lyric, and I took it home and wrote the song to the lyric. So most of the time we were sat together in the studio and would hash it out.
The song on the album, In the Morning, did you compose that with her?
No, that was all Nora's song.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, beautiful song that was all her. I cannot take any credit for it.
It's a song that I've been thinking about long after I've heard it, because one has a reaction to it automatically, whether they like it or they don't like it. But then it grows on you, because you realize that that's like a lot of days that people have, creative people especially.
Yeah.
And I think you see herself in that quite a bit.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's you know, she wrote, yeah, it's full of feeling and full of emotion, but it's true, it doesn't really hit you right away. It does, you know, her songs don't come off of like, oh, this is an autobiographical song, you know, like when you first hear them, I think, it's my opinion. But then when you actually look at them, you're like, oh, wow, this is pretty deep, and but in that sense, they're very relatable. And yeah, it is a song about how, you know, some days you wake up and you don't know what you're doing. And some days, and then you get a little piece of news and you're on top of the world. And that's the way it goes your whole life as an artist.
You talked a moment ago, Jamie, about the Prince song, Nothing Compares to You, and piecing that together, if you will, for this album long after she died. Listening to it and hearing what eventually is on the album. I mean, that must have been just, I can't begin to imagine what that was like in working in your workspace, if you will, and hearing that and putting that together.
Well, I mean, okay, so that's an example of something that we did. Sorry for the sirens in the background.
No, no.
But I live in New York City.
Right.
This is what I put up with every day.
Yeah.
That song, actually, I didn't change it from what we did in one afternoon. I mean, I was just like, that's me on the piano and with a little drum machine that comes in every once in a while. And that's it. And just Nora. And I, when I went to do the record, I was like, we're just going to present it this way because I think it's complete in itself. So all I did was remix that song. A lot of other songs I really had to edit and cut down and add new piano parts and new guitar parts. But that one, I just put on the way we had done it that day. And, you know.
Yeah, I guess the special part of it was that it sat for a while, didn't it? And then to rediscover it, I mean, that must have been, it must have been just magic almost.
Yeah, you know, I do a lot of music. Just the nature of what I do, I work on a TV show, and then I'll work on the Tony Awards show, and then I'll orchestrate a piece for some singer, and then I'll, you know, write a song with someone, and I try to keep things moving forward all the time. And then, you know, sometimes you got to look back, and you pick something up, and you're like, wow, this is quite something. And what I realized about a lot of these records, tracks that we never put out, besides having never put them out when she was alive, was that a bunch of them Nora was never really happy with, but I realized actually Nora's parts were all perfect. It was all the stuff that was my responsibility that was not perfect. So, you know, I didn't have Nora, so luckily all her, basically, I didn't have any opportunity to go back and punch in a line or go find a thing, but I did have opportunity to fix my piano parts, and I did have opportunities to flesh out guitar parts and make an edit, and cut things down, and just make them feel better. One song we wrote as a theme song for a TV show that never actually got on the air, it was only 1 minute long, but I liked it so much, I decided, that was another one I hadn't listened to in 6 years. I decided to turn that into a song, so I doubled the length and I added a guitar solo, and now it feels like a song.
Indeed.
But Nora's parts were all perfect. So.
The last song on the album is The Hill, and one of the first things I thought about as I was listening to it, it sounds like a country song. But then, as it plays, as the album ends, it's so uplifting that you feel like there's going to be more. And so you alluded to this a moment ago. There'll be another album. Is that right?
Yes, I have more songs in the vault that her husband Jerry Kearns and I would like to put out next. So that'll be my next project. But The Hill was a song that we actually had done for her previous record, What I Want.
Uh-huh.
And when we were finishing it, we just had too many songs. So that song got cut. And then what I really couldn't believe after Nora passed was that we had never put out a second record in all this time. Mm. And that was kind of mind-boggling to me. But that was a great track, and it does sound a little different. The band is a little different. That's when we had Charlie Giordano playing with the band on accordion, who went on to play with Bruce Springsteen for the last 15 years. And so it does feel a little more country, but it's a beautiful song, actually about her husband, I think, and deserved its day in the sunshine, that is for sure.
Yeah, Dave, I found it so enjoyable, so uplifting, as I said, that it seemed like a great finale.
Thank you.
Almost, we're waiting for the encore, if you will.
Well, thank you so much. There will be an encore, and I feel like you're a very attuned listener, and I really, it's always so heartwarming when you send something out into the world, and then someone out there really listens to what you've done, and...
Yeah.
Thinks about it, and that's the most rewarding thing you can possibly have as an artist.
So thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Did Nora, I guess near the end of her life at all, was she reflective as to her work, as to her career, say? I mean, could she have imagined that there would be there would be this posthumous album, if you will?
Oh my goodness, it's so interesting. I mean, she definitely, you know, had a terrible illness, and she knew the end would come, and she lasted about a year and a year and a half on it. But we didn't really talk about posthumous record at all, mm-hmm. I have to say. Because, you know, Nora was sort of like me. She was always looking forward. She was very involved teaching at Clive Davis at NYU right there at that point, and she taught the entire year with full load of courses and students, and we put on another show. We put on two shows that year, and she put on two shows her last year mm-hmm. performing. So it was always moving forward, like, what's our next thing? What's our next song, you know? I don't really remember having a conversation of like, oh, Nora, I'm going to go back and find our old material and put it out.
Mm.
I really don't think we ever talked about it, surprisingly.
I understand, Jamie, that there was a recent tribute concert at Joe's Pub with regards to the release of the album. Is that right?
Yeah, we did it October 7th. It was sold out. It was an incredibly moving evening. I called up some of her old students that we worked with together at Clive Davis and at Tisch.
Uh-huh.
And she had a singer, Cheryl Marshall, who sang with her for years as her sidekick. And she came and sang, and we had about 12 students who are all amazing performers in their own right and have only gotten better since they graduated. One is like a, you know, world-famous pop star now touring Europe. And everyone came back as soon as I emailed them and was like, yes, I'm down. And everyone came out and sang a song. We turned some songs into a duet. In the morning, we turned it into a quartet. And it was a wonderful evening, if I may say so myself. It was really very moving to hear other people singing Nora songs.
Right.
We had never really attempted. I didn't think it was possible, and then it turned out it was very possible. So it was really fun.
Yeah, and I'll bet it's just wonderful that this music that she created has had a life of its
really
own,
was.
You know?
Yeah. It's on YouTube. You can see it on the... It was live streamed, and they put it up on YouTube, so you can watch it. Even though the sound isn't as good as I'd like to be, and you can't hear the audience laugh or reaction, you can get a feel for it.
Yeah. So. You mentioned conducting the Tony Awards. Your father did that for a number of years, I understand.
Yeah, he conducted the Tony Awards for many, many, many years, and he brought me in when I was a youth as an orchestrator. And at some point, I started playing piano, synthesizers in the orchestra. And then I started playing piano in the orchestra, and I continued being an arranger orchestrator. And at some point, it sounds, very inside baseball, working for your dad. But what can I say? We were a good team. And then I became his associate music director, and I worked for another fellow after Elliot left. Elliot Lawrence was my father, Patrick Vaccariello, as his associate, and then last year I conducted it myself.
If people want to go to Spotify, they can see, because Elliot Lawrence, there are a number of Elliot Lawrence and his orchestra albums, a couple of them at least on Spotify, right?
Yes, he had his own band and the big band, the end of the big band era. And from really when he was 18 to about 28 or 30, he was on the road for the big band until the big band collapsed. The whole, big band era ended, and he had to move on to other pastures. But he's still alive and doing great. And he was, he was who I got my always move forward philosophy for. So he was always on to the next thing. And not one to look back like, oh, the good old days when I had a big band. No, he was like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not on the road right now. You know,
The music that would play people on, or when people would go up to accept their awards, because a lot of that stayed the same over the years. Did he compose that?
Actually, most of it's composed by me. All the original stuff is composed by myself. What we do is if you win a musical award, the music that you hear as you come up is the song from the show.
And then if it's a play, it's usually it's the same song that we hear year after year, right?
Well, I try to mix them up so people don't hear it that we use the same music. But basically, over the last umpteen years, I've written umpteen play-ons to try to match the play. And each year there are about 12, 15 plays that we select music for, and I write about three more. So, I'm impressed if you can recognize similar tunes each year. But yes, I've written all those actually. So those are all my compositions, and I'm chuckling that you're recognizing some of them.
Yeah, because we would hear some of those things on not only the Tony Show, but he also didn't he conduct the Night of 100 Stars?
Yep.
So
the Night of 100 Stars.
So you did that music then? Is that right?
Yeah, I worked on that. But that didn't have much original stuff. That was all songs that people came out with.
Right, right.
So, he had an incredibly varied career, both in TV shows, and then he worked in advertising for years, and of course he worked on Broadway for about 12 or 15 years and did some of the most successful shows ever, like Bye Bye Birdie and How to Succeed in Business without really trying.
Yeah.
So he really knew his stuff. He knows his stuff. I still talk to him and get advice from him every day.
Well, you'll give him my best.
I will.
Yeah. The other thing that 2013, the big opening number that Neil Patrick Harris did, I think it was called Better. You conducted that, is that right? Oh, Bigger, that's right.
Yeah, that was called Bigger, yeah. That was Elliot's last year, and he was ill. He had an eye infection and couldn't see. So I ended up having to do all the conducting that year, and that was the year we did Bigger, which was, and I still think is the most extraordinary opening of any show.
Absolutely, I mean, I remember...
I was lucky to be a part of that. Yeah,
I remember people. I mean, that went viral that night.
Yeah.
And I mean, I went to go look at it recently, and there are. I can just imagine what that's like to conduct, because there are so many performers, so many different parts to it, and it's live.
It's pretty extraordinary. There's also, I think, on YouTube, an incredible clip that someone filmed in the control room, and you watch Glenn Weiss call the shots at the end of that number. It's like a minute long, and you see what it was like in the control room as he's calling camera shots. So that's what it was like everywhere in the whole Radio City. With all those people coming in, I think that was the year there were like two or three shows that had children in them. So we had children, and we had dogs, and it was quite extraordinary.
And Mike Tyson too, right?
Everyone who works on that show is so talented and the top of their game. And, so every department is, giving it their all to pull something like that off. So, it takes a month to put the show together or a little. And every time we start, we're like, oh, my God, this is going to be crazy. And it is crazy, but so far we pulled it off. So.
Jamie, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you. Just sitting here realizing, how much of an admirer of your work I've been over the years has been a great thrill for me. And to be able to listen to Nora York's music as you have so lovingly put it out there in the form of this album soon, it's just such a pleasure indeed to talk to you about that as well. So I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate the call, and it's been a pleasure for me as well. And I really appreciate it, and hope some of your listeners can get a chance to listen to Swoon.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much.
Here now is Rain Came Down from the new album Swoon, which is available from Good Mood Records. Incidentally, Jamie's website is at jamielawrenceproductions.com. He joined me from New York City and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.
It rained for a thousand years so long ago. It rained for a thousand years so long ago. And it's all there is, and all there'll ever be, inside and all around me. Since it rained for a thousand years, and the stones fell from the sky for a long, long time, and the stones fell from the sky for a long, long time. And it's all there is, and all there'll ever be, inside and all around us. Since the stones fell from the sky, melting ice fields move the roaring seas. What makes the rivers roll and flow with the same as when my heart beats on? And I don't know why. It rain and rain and rain and rain and rain. Days when the rain pours down, it's still the same. The same rain rains since the beginning. 'Cause it's all there is, and all there'll ever be, inside and all around us. Inside and all around us, we just keep on spinning, spinning round and round and round. The sun, the moon, each living thing, each rock and stone made of the same dust, the same dust. Our blood, our soul, and grow strong or washes them away. The way it all comes down, it's not ours to say, but it's all we are. It's what and who we are, inside and all around us. Inside and all around us. Solid as a mountain, or soft as morning mist. The cloud that moves across the sky is the same as all the tears I cry. And I don't know why. Like rain, a long, long time.